Welcome to Risky Business News, a podcast with cybersecurity news read and prepared by Cătălin Câmpanu. Risky Business News is brought to you this week by Thinxt, the makers of the much-loved Thinxt Canary. We're going to start today's show with the findings of a report published last week by the British think tank the Royal United Services Institute, which argued that ransomware gangs have increased their targeting of the Global South, a term used for countries in Latin America, Asia, Africa, and Oceania. Russian analysts argued that ransomware gangs shifted their targeting over the past year to this region following an acid response from US and European law enforcement agencies in the aftermath of a string of high-profile attacks in the Northern Hemisphere. This acid response included the arrests of ransomware affiliates and their money laundering partners, the seizure of cryptocurrency funds linked to past ransomware payments, financial sanctions against cryptocurrency platforms that aided blatant money laundering, and the creation of special task forces to hunt down these gangs. Russi is not alone in reaching this conclusion, and other ransomware connoisseurs have also spotted this trend ever since last year, when, after operation orchestrated by US Cyber Command and the FBI, ransomware crews appear to have silently decided to stop targeting the US primarily and slowly shift to new hunting grounds. Initially, there were slight spikes in new ransomware cases across Europe and Australia, but this year, Latin America seems to have gotten more attention, something that was also covered in reports from CyberScoop and French news site Lemag. In addition, Russian analysts also say that one of the reasons for this change in targeting could also be that many victims in the Global South regions have soft IT underbellies that are easier to hack, compared to companies in Europe and the US who benefit from large security budgets. Furthermore, Russian analysts also point out that the focus on Global South countries may also be intentional and related to the current political landscape, where payments to Russian cybercrime gangs may be subject to economic sanctions in North America and the EU. Cyber insurers, lawyers, and ransomware negotiators may just not be in the mood to tempt fate and are most likely recommending that EU and US victims not pay ransoms to avoid any future sanctions-related complications, something that may not be a problem in other countries, many of which have not joined the US and the EU in their sanctions against ransomware crews and the Russian government itself following its invasion of Ukraine. Moving on to other government and policy-related news, the FTC said last week that it was starting legislative procedures to crack down on commercial surveillance vendors. In a statement, the agency asked for feedback from the private industry on how to deal with the problem of commercial surveillance, which is a term the agency uses for large-scale data aggregators like ad platforms, and not necessarily to refer to spyware product vendors like NSO Group. Also in government-related news, DHS Undersecretary for Policy Robert Silvers said during the Black Hat Security Conference in Las Vegas last week that the Chinese government appears to be using its new software vulnerability disclosure rules to preview dangerous zero-day flows before tech companies can deploy fixes, according to a CyberScoop report. The new rules have been a subject of controversy since they were passed last year, as they appear to allow the Chinese government to punish security researchers who fail to notify government cybersecurity agencies of dangerous bugs before the actual vendors. In tech and privacy news, Australia's competition watchdog fined Google on Friday $60 million Australian dollars for misleading users about the collection of their personal location data through their Android devices. The Australian Competition and Consumer Commission said that approximately 1.3 million Google user accounts in Australia might have been affected by Google's shady policies. In data breach news, clothing and underwear manufacturer Hanes said in its quarterly report last week that a ransomware attack that took place earlier this year may end up costing the company almost $100 million in lost sales after the incident limited its ability to fulfill customer orders for approximately 3 weeks. In other hacking news, Reuters reported last week that a threat actor claimed to have obtained the personal information of 48.5 million users from a COVID health app run by the city of Shanghai. The incident marks the second major breach of a Shanghai city agency over the past month, after hackers also previously leaked more than 1 billion records from a Shanghai Police Department database. Now, in some positive hacking news, Binance CEO Changpeng Zhao tweeted on Friday that his platform seized 450,000 worth of cryptocurrency. The Binance CEO said the sum represents roughly 83% of funds stolen from Curve Finance last Monday following a DNS attack that hijacked the platform's front end. Moving on to threat intel news, Palo Alto Networks said last week that it spotted threat actors using a new denial of service bug to execute DDoS attacks by reflecting and amplifying traffic via its own brand of firewall devices. Palo Alto Networks said the attack doesn't crash the firewall, but it allows attackers to abuse the device's bandwidth and resources for DDoS attacks against third-party victims. The company said it expects to release patches for this bug later today on August 15. In similar news, security firm Volexity also published a report last week on a recent wave of attacks targeting Zimbra web apps. The attacks exploited a variation of CVE-2022-27295, a remote code execution bug formally patched earlier this year in March. While the initial vulnerability required that attackers possess valid admin credentials, Volexity said it found a variation where the admin password wasn't needed, a variation they reported to Zimbra, which patched it at the end of July. Now, in cybercrime-related news, Dutch authorities said last week that they also detained a developer of the Tornado Cash crypto mixing service. The arrest came days after the US Treasury Department sanctioned the service for helping North Korean hackers launder stolen funds. The suspect's name has not been released in line with Dutch privacy laws. In DevOps security news, Kaspersky researcher Leonid Bezvershenko found two malicious Python libraries named UltraRequests and PyQuests uploaded on the official PyPy portal that were configured to silently download malware on a developer system. The malware, named Wasp Stealer, was specialized in exfiltrating browser cookies, Discord tokens, and crypto wallet files. Kaspersky's findings came on the same day that Sonatype researchers also discovered a third malicious Python package named SecretsLib that covertly installed an in-memory crypto miner on Linux systems. In APT and cyber espionage-related news, Trend Micro and Sequoia published separate reports last week on a recent operation carried out by the Iron Tiger, China-based APT. The two reports detail a supply chain attack executed against the Mimi chat application. Researchers said the group compromised Mimi servers hosting the chat app installers, through which the group delivered versions of the HyperBro backdoor to users who installed the app over the past 10 months. In vulnerability-related news, two interesting academic papers were published last week. The first details a new attack on the Ethereum blockchain's consensus mechanism that could be abused by rogue miners to obtain higher mining rewards compared to the standard protocol. The research team, comprised of academics from the Hebrew University in Israel, described their work as, we quote, the first case of a confirmed consensus-level manipulation performed on a major cryptocurrency, end quote. On the same note, the second academic paper described yet another new attack against the quantum-resistant SIDH key exchange algorithm. This marks the third time this algorithm got broken over the past 3 weeks. Also in vulnerability news, in new research presented at Black Hat and DEF CON, Portswigger's James Kettle detailed a new technique named browser power desync attacks. In layman's terms, this new technique works by desyncing a website's front end from a user's browser and then using the same browser to launch and relay attacks against other websites. Kettle said he successfully tested this technique to attack websites like the Amazon Web Store, the Akamai CDN, and multiple web VPNs. Other similarly cool research presented at Black Hat and DEF CON last week also included work from Eclipsium, the former security company, which found three vulnerabilities in popular bootloaders from Eurosoft, DataSys, and CryptoPro. Eclipsium said the bugs can be used to bypass the UEFI Secure Boot security feature and execute unsigned code during an operating system's boot process. In addition, computer security researcher Thais Alkemade also published details about a macOS bug that Apple patched last year. The vulnerability resided in saved state, a macOS feature that can reopen apps in their last state before a reboot. Alkemade said the vulnerability was so severe that it could bypass all macOS security protections and elevate an attacker's permissions on older macOS versions. This is it for today's news. Today's podcast was sponsored by Thingst. You can find links to all the technical reports mentioned in today's show in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com, and you can subscribe to our podcast via our website at risky.biz.